Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Friday, February 21st, 2020. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing, Addy Olea Jr. Joining me is Tim Muffuggin Geddes.
What's up, Bless?
First of all, Tim host. First of all, I want a moment of silence.
Mm-hmm.
2 seconds. Perfect. That was for The Last of Us Part 2. It was supposed to release today.
I know.
Remember, wow. Today was the original release day of The Last of Us Part 2.
Today's also the 1 year anniversary of Devil May Cry 5.
Is it really?
Yeah, man.
It came out in February?
Time flies.
Are you sure it came out in February?
I saw it on Twitter.
Okay.
So it must be
true. Can't be wrong.
You know what I mean?
It's trending, so.
Devil May Cry 5 is trending?
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. Could
Last of Us 2.
Can you believe, like,
we could all not be at work right now?
No, legit. We could have all have. I mean, we probably would have got early copies, so we probably would have been playing or already had played Last of Us Part 2 by now.
Stuff.
Could you imagine?
No.
What that alternate
world
would have been.
That apocalyptic world.
Oh,
of
man.
Revenge.
Now we got to wait, what, 3 months? It's May, right? So, yeah, 3 months.
Yeah.
Man.
We'll
the worst timeline. The
this
evil
is
timeline.
The worst timeline. The timeline of delays.
Second of all, what the fuck is this?
You know,
what's happening?
I don't exactly know.
Audio listeners.
Barry just said, hey, Tim, do you like peanut M&Ms? And I'm like, yeah, they're the fucking superior M&Ms.
Yeah,
you
Tim!
Imbeciles.
Yeah, audio listeners, if you don't know because you can't see us right now, there's three big old bags of peanut M&Ms, and I don't like it. I don't like it at all.
Yeah,
I'm just get off this fucking set.
I'm team plain M&Ms.
We have the sharing size, and then we have the Fast and Furious size.
The Fast and Furious size?
Yeah.
Oh, I see what you did there.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
smart.
Anyway, Greg tried to do this whole uprising on Twitter this morning of like, regular M&Ms are the best. When we proved to him a year ago that he was in the wrong, he was in the minority
by
on
like
this
5%
idea.
Though in that poll.
No,
right?
It was like a good 10% difference.
I guess 55 versus 45. But
yeah, it's a 10%
difference. That's a close run, especially if you have like people like y'all over here just like encouraging your friends.
I'm just saying, in the presidential
whatever
election,
celebrities you know to vote
versus 45%, that's a big gap, okay?
Celebrities?
So,
you talking about Brie motherfucking Larson?
Yeah, I'm talking about Brie Larson.
Yeah,
Greg Miller is on the other side. Brie Larson's on the other side.
Oh, wait. Yeah. Brie Larson's on...
You're out here talking shit about your own people.
Okay, well, never mind. Never mind. I'm with Brie Larson.
You're coming off like the Democrats right now.
No, I misread.
Get your shit together. You need to be united.
I misread. I am team Brie Larson, and Brie Larson is team playing Eminem. Also, she was Captain Marvel, and I liked the movie, so there you go. Brie Larson, hey, you're great.
Hey.
Peanut M&M's, hey.
You're
better than regular
peanut
M&M's.
I'm gonna eat some of you.
What is it about peanut M&M's? Because here's the thing: I like peanuts. I like M&M's.
So what's your problem?
It's just when they come together. It's
get
like
some culture, get some taste.
It's like when two artists you like come together and do like a collab album, and it's like this album ain't all that great. Like it's like when Drake and Future came together to make an album. And it's like I like both y'all separately.
Yeah.
But together, it's like are these diamonds really dancing? I don't think they are.
This is better than that, though.
This is great.
This is upsetting.
So what is this show?
Oh, yeah. This, of course, is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Today's stories include the coronavirus continuing to wreak havoc, hot tea, more like hot coffee, and more, because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindafunny.com/you'rewrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindafunnygames or listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kinda Funny Games Daily. To be a part of the show, head to patreon.com/kindafunnygames where bronze members or above get to write in and silver members or above get the show ad free. Let's see. Now it's time for some housekeeping. Thank you to our Patreon producers, James Davis, David Mintel, Muhammad Muhammad, the Nanobiologist, Frank Furter, Shiraz Rizak, Patrick Higgins, Travis Gajkowski, Drew Gardner, Dominic Shorter, Ginny Burnt, Joseph Solar, and Katie Gallagher. Appreciate all of you. Today we're brought to you by Hims and Quip, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have 4 stories today.
A peanut M&M's dozen!
Bummer. It's a bummer how much y'all love peanut M&M's.
They're good, baby.
Let's see, number one.
You're going to succumb to the right side one day.
No. I feel like all my life.
How blue this is.
Actually, not even every Halloween, right? I'll get peanut M&Ms, like a small pack of peanut M&Ms in my bag, and I'll think, okay, maybe today's the day that I actually like these things. I'll eat them, and I'm like, nope, it's not. Today's not the day. I don't think the day will ever come.
There's always a tomorrow.
Number one, PlayStation and Facebook canceled GDC appearances citing coronavirus concerns. This is by Christopher Dring of GamesIndustry.biz. PlayStation and Facebook Gaming / Oculus will not be attending this year's Game Developers Conference due to concerns around coronavirus. It follows a series of canceled or postponed video game events, plus console manufacturing disruption caused by the outbreak. The virus has infected over 75,700 people so far, killing 2,130. The majority of cases have been in China, with just over 1,000 cases reported in other countries, including 15 in the U.S. Facebook says that it's still planning to make announcements at GDC around its Oculus business, but will now do that via digital formats with video, online Q&As, and more. The firm says it is removing its booth footprint and advising all employees to refrain from traveling to the show. Quote, out of concern for the health and safety of our employees, our dev partners, and from the GDC community, Facebook will not be attending this year's Game Developer Conference due to the evolving public health risks related to COVID-19, a Facebook company spokesperson said. We still plan to share exciting announcements we had planned for the show through videos, online Q&As, and more, and we'll plan to host GDC partner meetings remotely in the coming weeks. We continue to collaborate with UBM, GDC's parent company, and our partners, and thank them for their efforts, end quote. A statement sent to GamesIndustry.biz by Sony Interactive Entertainment reads, quote, we have made the difficult decision to cancel our participation in Game Developers Conference due to increasing concerns related to COVID-19, also known as coronavirus. We felt this was the best option as the situation related to the virus and global travel restrictions are changing daily. We are disappointed to cancel our participation, but the health and safety of our global workforce is our highest concern. We look forward to participating in GDC in the future. Tim Geddes. This is the second event, the second big event that PlayStation's pulled out of due to coronavirus. The first one we've heard from Facebook and Oculus.
Yeah.
What is their take? What are your thoughts on all this?
Well, here's the thing. Not only is it the second one PlayStation's pulled out of, it's the second event of the year, you know, of real consequence. Like, PlayStation doesn't usually show up at things like PAX South. So this is a big deal that PlayStation is missing all these things. Especially, this one's interesting because there's no travel involved. Both Facebook and PlayStation are both Bay Area. So GDC is here.
Yeah.
Like, the travel is a car ride, an Uber. You know, it's not getting on a plane. However,
but there's still people, like, traveling from other places, though.
There are people traveling from other places. And when you get a lot of people together for a conference, thousands of people, you're just multiplying the risk. That's all that it is.
Because I imagine, like, Worldwide Studios, you know, different people. Like, people will be traveling in from Sony Ben for Ben Studio and Naughty Dog, I imagine, to this event. So that still includes some sort of travel. But, yeah, PlayStation Core is already here.
You and I were playing Final Fantasy VII a couple days ago. So we weren't here when the PAX East news broke and when I think it was Greg and Gary were talking about the effects on PAX East and stuff. So I'm a little bit uninformed when it comes to the... like, to that side of the story. Hearing it, though, like, just the headline of that, I was just like, very, very, very interesting and concerning, because PlayStation, knowing PlayStation, they wouldn't announce something as big as the public's going to get to play Last of Us 2 for the first time and then back out of that unless it was some real shit.
Yeah.
And I think that this kind of backs that up. But then there's the conspiracy theory of, or do they just know that they need to now back out of everything as this is going on, or else it'll just make that look bad, you know?
Yeah, I've kind of had a lot of thoughts rotating my mind regarding all this, right? Because when I first heard the news of PAX East and PlayStation pulling out, right, my first thoughts were jumping to, all right, is it really the coronavirus? Would you guys pull out for
that?
But
why wouldn't it be? Like, my thing there is, it. Look, Naughty Dog, not the Japanese side of the company, right? Like, they are very, like, almost local. And well, going to Boston, I guess, is not local, but, like, that's not that crazy of a travel.
Yeah,
schedule,
I mean,
right?
US to US travel, you know, there's only 15 cases in the US, right? So, US to US travel isn't even that big of a thing. But in the context of a convention where there are tons of people coming in, the context
and
of airports,
tons of people in one place, which, like, take the coronavirus out of this, every convention, there's, like, you know, the
I've
convention
caught the
play.
PAX Box. 2 out of 3 times I've been to PAX.
That's just how it happens, man. And it's just like, that sucks. But hey, it's good to minimize the risk when it is there. But PlayStation doesn't normally make that big of a deal of PAX East. This is the first time I can remember, and I'm sure there have been other examples, but they were just like, yo, at PAX East, y'all motherfuckers get to play Last of Us 2. It's like, that they didn't need to do that. Yeah. Nobody expected that and until like, they said it.
For
right?
The Last of Us, this is the second time this has happened, right? Because at the Last of Us event that they did in September that Greg went to, where they did the state of play and they announced the release date, mm-hmm. it was like a week later to where they were like, actually, we're delaying this 3 months, mm-hmm. right? And it's like, why'd you give us the release date last week if we're going to delay a week later? This must have been something that came down to the wire, mm-hmm. I imagine. And for this, right, it's a similar thing where it's a week later, you announce that you guys aren't showing up to PAX East despite just announcing that you're going to be there, right? This must have been a decision that came down to the wire. And
it must be the coronavirus because, dude, it's not like they can't get a demo together. Like,
yeah.
That's...
And
there's a demo. It must exist.
I'm a believer at this point that what they're saying is authentic and true here, that it is due to the coronavirus. And also like with the idea that global travel restrictions are changing daily and all that stuff, right? Like you don't want to make your employees go somewhere with the fear that maybe an airport shuts down or maybe they get stuck there because something happens, and maybe the fear isn't the virus itself. The fear is the panic around the virus and what that can do for people getting stuck somewhere.
Yeah.
I understand that fear. And I also understand the idea that you're a big business and you have to care about your employees and work culture is a thing. And if you have, a group of your employees being like, hey, we're excited for PAX East, but at the same time,
we have concerns.
We have concerns. All this stuff is going on. You don't want to force your workforce to go to an event if they feel uncomfortable with it. Mm-hmm. And I could very well see it being a thing of like PlayStation or Sony or Facebook would like to go to PAX East or would like to go to GDC, but it's a bad look on them to force their employees to go, and they're willing to just be like, hey, like they can't make the language of, hey, our employees don't want to go. They kind of have to put themselves in the front lines for that.
Yeah.
And so I can understand that being the case of like, hey, you guys don't have to go. We'll put the communication out there. It'll be fine. We'll mm-hmm. roll with it. We'll figure it out.
Because on the flip side of that, adding Facebook to this equation, Facebook has a lot less to lose, in my mind, than PlayStation from our perspective. Because we're looking at it as like, oh, Last of Us, like, what does this mean for, like, blah, blah, blah. With Facebook, it's like, why would they not be there to promote Oculus? Like, it's obviously the coronavirus. It's like, there's no hidden veil of whatever they had planned wasn't ready. Like, their stuff was ready. There's whatever it is, what I mean? There's no reason they wouldn't be there if it weren't for this, so.
Devontae Chisholm writes in and says, with Sony pulling out of PAX East and now GDC, do you think it is more likely that the PS5 reveal is just a state of play like live stream? Sony seems to be taking this virus very seriously, so I'm finding it hard to believe they'd pack a room with press for an actual reveal event. And so with the idea that now they pulled out of two big events, does Sony throw their own big event? And this is asking a big question that we obviously don't have the answers to, but with the idea that the PlayStation reveal is probably within the next 3 months, right? If coronavirus is still a thing, say, in May.
Yeah. There's a lot of factors here.
Yeah, there are.
To answer Devontae's question of, do you think it's more likely that the PS5 event's a state of play live stream? Yes, I do think it's more likely. I still don't think that's going to happen. And as big of an event as GDC or PAX East are, they are not the biggest event. You know what I mean? It's like they're not typically the home to announcements and things like that. Granted, PlayStation Vita was announced at GDC. If I remember correctly,
at least
seen for the first time.
Yeah.
But it's like there are exceptions to that rule. But I think that when it comes to the PlayStation 5 event, like we don't know what the hell it is. We've been theorizing this shit for a year now, and it wasn't a big event in February, which is what everybody thought until they didn't. Until it started switching of like, what could it be? Granted, State of Plays didn't exist when we were first really trying to like figure out when the PS5 is going to be revealed. I don't think that's the way that they do it. I do think that it is going to be a bit more of a stage presence thing.
Mm-hmm.
May is a long time away. It's also not. Like, it depends on how you're looking at it. But, like, this coronavirus scare, I feel, will be dealt with by then. But that's also, being hopeful.
Yeah, like, I imagine coronavirus won't be as big of a concern by May. But, that's the thing of we'll see. But also, for me, I don't necessarily... I already think that it's going to be a state of play. I don't know if this will lend more credence to it being a state of play, but I think for me, I see why Sony doesn't want to do conferences in general anymore. Like, since they started State of Play, it's not been the biggest success in the world, right? We don't look at it in the same vein as a Nintendo Direct, but I think they're building towards that. And I think they've seen, like, they've they've taken some hits with like their last few E3 conferences and their last few stage presentations. I feel like people always have a thing to complain about, and usually it's Sony's fault, you know, for making people congregate from the church and then like migrate to like whatever other theater and making things difficult.
Here's my thing though. I disagree with that, where I feel like the last couple Sony conferences might, like, they weren't the 2015, 2016 conferences,
yeah,
but they were still dope as fuck. And like, yeah, people are going to complain about anything anyone does ever. Like, I feel like when we look back at the last Sony E3 conference that they put on,
yeah,
like, sure, there is the perspective of like, oh man, it was awkward when they had to make people move, but I feel like more people remember the set pieces, more people remember the church, more people remember, dude, mm-hmm, they had Last of Us, Spider-Man, Ghost of Tsushima, and like that was where Resident Evil 2 Remake was debuted. Yeah. It's like that conference was fucking fire.
Yeah,
not compared to other conferences.
Not compared to other ones, but also I feel like the pacing of it was so off. And there are so many things we can pick apart about like the other things. Like, they had that weird intermission in the middle when they went from The Last of Us Part 2 trailer,
mm-hmm,
going into, hey, we're gonna have Sid Schumann talking to people about like the new Call of Duty and like other things that they're showing in between. And okay, now we're going back to the stage, and it's a dude playing a flute for like 2 minutes before they go into the Ghost of Tsushima stuff. I feel like there was quite a few things to pick apart, despite there being good content there. Mm-hmm. Like, despite us getting good trailers, it felt like that stuff kind of fell flat because they were trying to do so much. And that is more on Sony's presentation than the actual idea that they are doing a presentation, but they can eliminate that completely by being like, hey, Nintendo Directs usually don't come under scrutiny for anything aside from the actual content and announcements. And, you know, if that's the case, why are we doing anything like on stage?
Yeah,
right. Like, they can still have that 2015 E3 in a state of play.
They can. I would love to see it, but mm-hmm, I doubt that we ever will in that sense. And I'm a huge supporter of state of plays and a huge supporter of Nintendo Directs and how those function. But I just think that while I agree with you, the pacing was absolutely off for the Sony conference. It represents Sony trying to do something different and do something big and show like some panache to the video games, and it succeeded most at the 2016 E3 when they had the live orchestra playing the music for the entire conference, right?
Yeah.
Debut God of War at the start. We had the Crash Bandicoot return. Kojima comes out on his beautiful light bridge.
Yeah.
For Death Stranding. It's like, God, that was like the perfect thing. You know, we had like the hanging bodies and stuff. It's just like, that was like, to me, the perfect press conference.
But do we still have that PlayStation?
But they tried to one-up it with this thing of like, we're going to make these like moments and stuff. And again, didn't work all the way. But I think that it represents what Sony wants to be, which is, yo, we're going to do something fucking cool and different. Cool and different. Yeah. Doesn't always hit.
My question is, does Sony still want to be that? Because I feel like within the last few years, we've kind of seen a shift. Like, you've seen a lot of people come and go from Sony, you know, number one. But then also, they've not really done that since then.
Well, so here's my thing. I think that we have no sign that they're not still that Sony. I think they're very much still that Sony. They just haven't had anything to do it with. Like, that last time we saw that was when they announced, like, really blew out all the games that we are still talking about, right? Ghost of Tsushima, Death Stranding even is still the conversation. Last of Us. Like, once we see the PS5, I think that will really set the tone of what we're going to see from PlayStation. And I expect we're going to see a return to this type of, like, crazy-ass epic thing. Because I can see them doing that with God of War 2, Horizon 2, Spider-Man 2, Bloodborne 2. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We're a ways off from that. But I think that we'll get it. I do think that the State of Play can be a bigger brand than what it currently is. And I think it could be a State of Play presents the PlayStation 5 experience, or whatever the hell it is, and it is a live, more traditional press conference, but it has the PlayStation State of Play
The branding on it,
because we've seen Nintendo Direct over the last decade change things around, where it's a Nintendo Direct doesn't necessarily just mean one thing. There's the mini directs, there's the one game directs, there's the you know, the indie directs, the indie showcases. Like, there's so many different brands within the one thing.
We shall see. Number two, NVIDIA boasts over 1 million new players using GeForce Now since it left beta. This is from Alessio Palumbo of WCCF Tech. NVIDIA's GeForce Now cloud streaming service for games left beta earlier this month, allowing gamers to choose between a free tier and a paid Founders tier. Now, NVIDIA revealed that over 1 million new gamers have taken to the cloud since. Furthermore, the publisher suggests companies that choose to remove games from GeForce Now should be few and far between. While new games come in each week, from the onboarding queue of over 1,500 titles, and some of these companies might actually bring their games back once they realize the value of the cloud gaming cloud streaming service. Quote, many in the games industry are riding the wave of excitement GeForce Now has generated, and we're just getting started. Earlier this month, we passed a milestone on our cloud gaming journey by removing the waitlist and opening our doors to more gamers. Over 1 million new gamers have taken to the cloud by signing up for a free plan or upgrading to the Founders membership, which includes a 90-day free trial. This trial is an important transitional period where gamers, developers, and publishers can try the premium experience with minimal commitment while we continue to refine our offering. As we approach a paid service, some publishers may choose to remove games before the trial period ends. Ultimately, they maintain control over their content and decide whether the game you purchase includes streaming on GeForce Now. Meanwhile, others will bring games back as they continue to realize GeForce Now's value. Stay tuned for more on that. Dude, I laughed.
Damn, dude.
When I first read this.
As it was going through, I was just like, okay, good for them. They're being a little bit more transparent with their messaging. They're trying to get ahead of stuff. And then that end is just like, oh, where's that shade? Oh, it's being thrown,
when
baby.
I first read this, I got to that last part and I was like, Jesus, man. Like, that was, it's such a, like, you know, big balls kind of move to be like,
you'll be back. You'll come back.
You know, you're going to miss me.
Dude, I kind of love that we, as video game pundits, have sat here and talked about Stadia, talked about what's Amazon going to do. We got xCloud. Like, when's PlayStation going to get involved? And meanwhile, GeForce Now just kind of pops out of nowhere because we are not on the PC side of things so much. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, oh, hey, we're here, and we did it right.
Yeah. And I think it's that thing where, you know, they knew what people want, you know, mm-hmm. when it comes to streaming, right? Like, people want to play their library, right? Like, it's hard for people to jump into an entirely new ecosystem and really be excited about it. You know, you look at Stadia, and the whole conversation around Stadia is there are no games, right? Like, there are games, but these are games that came out either forever ago or games that we've already played or games that are uninteresting. And so for GeForce Now to be like, hey, you can play whatever is in your library, quote unquote, whatever is in your library, because we've seen things come and go. You know, I think that's a big value proposition for people.
Absolutely.
And it makes way more sense to try out GeForce Now because of that.
And you know what a bigger value proposition is? It works.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Is like, word of mouth of this thing makes it sound like it's... Like, the one bad thing I've heard about this is the Activision stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. What's the bad things you've heard about Stadia?
A lot.
Exactly.
I think this even makes xCloud more interesting, because when xCloud finally launches and allows you to play... I believe xCloud is going to let you play whatever's in your library, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's going to be a huge thing, right? Being able to play. And I know, like, PS4 remote play is a thing and PlayStation Now is a thing. I don't believe... I mean, xCloud allows you to play off of servers that Xbox has mm-hmm. over there, right? And PlayStation doesn't really have that aside from PlayStation Now, but they don't have that for their whole library, as far as I know and I understand. And so, yeah, for Xbox to be going that direction, be able to pull that off, I think that's going to be huge for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm looking forward to that.
Me too, man.
But yeah, congratulations to GeForce Now. Stay tuned for more on that, according to them, as far as people coming and going. Number three, Microsoft Flight Simulator will include all airports on Earth. This is by Jordan Serrani over at IGN.
This is the type of news that I'm here for, Bless. Can you imagine the trailer for this? Can you imagine the Super Smash Brothers Ultimate theme song playing?
Oh, my God.
And then one by one, you see the airports kind of popping in. And it's LAX.
Seattle, Tacoma.
We got SFO. We start going. And then there's that Ice Climbers moment. We're like,
oh, yeah.
Yo, they're bringing back Dubai. And everyone's like, holy shit. And then it just keeps going. And then the Pokemon trainer's there, too. And you're like, what? It's like, Pichu, they're bringing back Pichu. Everyone is here. Every airport is here.
This is one of those news stories where I was like, it's a very slow news day, and I looked at it for a good 5 seconds. I looked at the title for a good 5 seconds. I was like, I'm including you.
Yeah.
This is gonna be a good one.
Oh man, I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. Bless.
So to get into the article, 2020's Microsoft Flight Simulator will include, quote, all airports on Earth, ranging from countryside airstrips to international airports, according to developer Asobo Studio. A total number of airports was not disclosed, though, according to the CIA, as of 2013, there were over 40,000 airports in the world.
Wow.
Yeah. As detailed on YouTube, the studio manually edited 37,000 of those airports to ensure accuracy. From the size and surface material of the runway to the precise location of the plane's parking spots. Not all airports have been given the same amount of attention. The 80, quote, most played and busiest airports are detailed, according to Asobo. These airports feature official names for taxiways and more, quote, accurate surface definition. And even higher tier, dubbed the most iconic airports in the development video, have been, quote, dressed up to reach a new level of realism in flight simulation. These airports feature unique buildings and props matching reality and terraformed landscapes that nest the airports in their real environment.
Okay, so SFO's Terminal 1's going to suck. LAX is going to have backed up traffic for all the Ubers and Lyfts.
Yep.
I love it, man.
Have you been to the... So, I recently flew to LA for an event, right? And I went to LAX. And it was my first time flying to LAX. And they have what they call LAXit, which is where all the Ubers and Lyfts and all this stuff congregate. And it looks like just like a fair. Yeah. It looks awesome. Yeah. They have like food trucks.
Yeah, I've never seen that before. I heard it was horrible in the beginning. I hear it, like, jokes aside, it's actually kind of working itself out now.
Yeah, when I went there, it seemed pretty good.
Yeah, I wonder if it's going to be here. I wonder if we're going
to
see the
food. Oh, my God. If I can go to a food truck and get a crepe right before my lift, that'd be awesome.
They seem to have found out their system where SFO is still trying to figure out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, what's up with SFO?
It's trash, man. They'll never figure it out, man. We had to wait for a car for like 30 minutes, and at that point, I was just like, fuck, we should have just taken
a BART. At LAX, the cars are already there. Like, you go there.
It's great.
You go to the Uber Lyft area, LAX it, and they're just like, oh, yeah, type in your destination. A code will pop up. You go to one of the cars, you show
Portland's
them your code,
like,
and they type in your code, and you're good.
And we're like We're like the tech boom area, and we can't figure that shit out.
So this is, I'm sure, exciting to the people that would be excited about this. I think it's cool. Like, I think this is the type of stuff where I'm like, yo, man, if you're going to put this much emphasis on Microsoft Flight Simulator, like, do it
go all the way in. Everything I've seen about Microsoft Flight Simulator seems awesome. I will never play it, but I'll watch people play it. Like,
yeah, Kevin and Greg are going to play it.
Are they really?
They were super stoked about it when it was first announced.
Have they played a flight simulator before? It seems complicated.
Yeah.
And, like, they're going to have Andy be their passenger, and they're going to fly Andy around.
Yeah. I give them 2 hours before they're done with it. Because I imagine you have to, like, actually, like, want to learn how to fly.
Yeah.
Actually, if you want to, like, get into flight simulator.
I know that this is a fucked up world that we live in. Yeah. That, like, I've seen things in my life that have led me to, when I hear this and talking about, like, oh, it's exact layouts of these airports and exactly where all these airplanes would be, I'm immediately thinking, there's terrorists that use this for evil. That sucks.
It does.
I just want to say, fuck you, world. Fuck you, world, for letting me think these thoughts. You know?
I'm
also,
with you.
Fuck terrorism. And also, fuck normal M&Ms.
Wait, what?
Bring it up. M&Ms. Bring it up, Barrett.
Oh, yeah, bring up the image.
Look at this monster of a human being.
So I can't get behind
them
being normal M&Ms and not peanut M&Ms, but you really got to respect Greg Miller's lower or like upper back leg.
I love how she has the wine on the table while eating her M&Ms.
I love that he has the beer on the side of the thing while eating his M&Ms. You know?
This is a beautiful recreation.
God.
Kind of funny is Greg Miller.
What's funny about all of it, ladies and gentlemen, of course, is that there's only one bag of half-eaten plain M&Ms in this office.
Can I see that bag
real
quick?
So fast. You can have some M&Ms. Oh, take
man.
Those. Yeah. What are you going to do now? What are you going to do now?
Man.
Huh?
I'm just happy it wasn't a situation where like you like open your hand and they just stick.
M&Ms everywhere.
Like, you have you ever asked for M&Ms from like a classmate or whatever and like they just start sticking?
Oh, yeah,
it's the worst. I hate it.
That wasn't it. Don't worry about it, everybody. Yeah. Plain M&Ms for life. You can have all these unopened bags. Everybody gives us these joke M&Ms thinking it's a big deal, Tim. Thinking they're making a big fool of Greg Miller. But what happens? They just sit here, get moldy. Joey doesn't even. She claims she does.
It's not true. How long have we had those regular peanut M&Ms?
I have them on the top shelf because you're all so short.
Wait, how old are these? How old are these
M&Ms? Maybe I'm a plain M&M guy.
We've had those regular M&Ms in there for a while.
Oh, no.
For a while.
I just shoved all of them in my
mouth. We just got these this morning, and Tim and I are already halfway through.
We're already halfway through.
Barrett, you can't even see above the fucking microwave. Don't act like you know what's up on the top shelf.
God, I hate tall people.
God.
Except Tim, because he's on my side with
the M&Ms. Thank you. I flip-flopped a little bit there, but at the end of the day, I love you. What happened to you?
As soon as he said the M&Ms are old, that messed up my whole situation.
Flipping sides.
Don't tell me
you
how
know
old
what M&Ms,
M&Ms
are new, Bless? These, we just got them today.
Yeah.
All right.
Fresh from Walgreens.
Wow. Number four. Red Dead Redemption 2 has a hot coffee mod, and Take-Two wants it gone. This is from Chris Priestman over at PC Gamer. Now I got M&M mouth. Hot Coffee is an inaccessible minigame in Grand Theft Auto San Andreas in which main character CJ has coffee with his girlfriend, except it's not coffee, but sex. And it gained infamy when San Andreas arrived on PC and modders dug it out of the code. And even though the simulated sex was primitive and everyone was fully clothed, the game was quickly re-rated as adults only until Rockstar released a patch completely removing the content. It seemed a bit overwrought now, but in 2005, it was a whole big thing.
I love how they phrased that. Do you remember this?
Oh, Hot Coffee? Yeah. Oh,
it
yeah.
It was a transformative moment, all right? All of us horny, young, impressionable teens were out there. And we're just like, I want to get my video game fuck on. I want to see this happen, and I'm going to find it on the internet. And back then, this was the early days of YouTube. You weren't seeing this on YouTube. You had to go to the darker corner. You had to go to the E-bombs worlds of the, of the world.
Had to go to Daily Motion. Weird.
You had to go to Daily motherfucking Motion, man. You got to download an FLV player. It was bad.
Oh, no.
But then I saw CJ getting his fuck on. And then I was like, you know what? This is weird.
It was weird, right?
It was really weird.
Whenever you see the videos of it, it's like, this is so awkward, man. Because this is repeated animations over and over. Which I guess that is what animated sex is. But back then, it just felt off. In this new more modern era of video games, modders don't need to rely on buried assets and snippets of code. They can just make things themselves. And so it is that Red Dead Redemption 2 now has a Hot Coffee minigame of its own. It may not be around for long, though, as YouTuber Swegta said in a video that our legal representative for Rockstar and Take-Two Interactive has told the mod makers that they have to take it down. The mod was uploaded to Nexus Mods on February 12th and apparently caught the eye of Take-Two and Rockstar shortly thereafter. Swegta's video from February 18th quotes an email stating that RDR2's EULA, quote, prohibits acts like decompiling, preparing derivative works based on, or otherwise modifying the software, end quote. And that the code of conduct for online services, quote, includes a prohibition on users creating, uploading, or posting material that is vulgar, obscene, sexually oriented, or inconsistent with community standards, end quote. The mod presumably violates at least a few of those restrictions.
At least a few.
And therefore must come down. Mod maker Unlosing confirmed with PC Games that a Rockstar rep did in fact ask them to take it down, but argued that it doesn't actually break any rules. Is that it? Oh my god. Oh wow.
Ride 'em, cowboy.
Dude, graphics have gotten so good over the last 15 years. That's crazy.
Although, you're right, though. It's just the same animation over and over. And also, what's he doing with his hands? Why is he all like this?
But, like, with the RDR2 engine, though, like, there's so much, like, movement. Andy Reid
here
so quick.
Kevin Coelho move.
Like, look how well the character flows.
Oh, what? Oh shit!
Reverse,
whoa!
Reverse.
You can change position with Y.
What the fuck?
Wow. This is a weird episode of Cash. Like, yeah, they're feeling
it. It's like that one, the one gif of the kid that's like.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see. Quote, the mod doesn't contain any nudity or nude models and only uses assets that are still in the game, they said. And this is from Unlosing, who was asked to take it down. Quote, the animations are from the drunk bar mission with Lenny, which are still in the game, and the moaning noises are simply the sounds the character models make when they get injured. Also, they mention online services. However, this mod is only available for single player, end quote. For now, Hot Coffee for RDR2 remains available, although you'll have to at least pretend to be of legal age if you want to look at it. Tim, does Hot Coffee 2 do anything for you? I don't even know if it's the second one. Oh, are these the moans? Yep, those sound like... That sounded like Greg the other day when he was like doing the voice lines.
Oh, man.
Man, Tim, I'm excited to see what the next version of Hot Coffee is in GTA 6. But that game, so far away.
Oh, it's so far away.
If I want to know what's coming out to mom and grab shops today, where would I look?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Yeah. Dude, the M&M taste is just distracting me so much. Because I love it.
Thick. It is my throat is coated right now.
Yeah, no, that's the thing. Is like now my throat is coated, and now like it has an aftertaste. Yeah. M&M's they linger. I mean, chocolate lingers.
No, chocolate lingers, man. M&M's coat in my throat. I got nuts all between my teeth. You know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean. Out today, we have Dragon for PS4 and Xbox One, Dungeon Defenders Awaken for PC, Brief Battles for Switch, Tony Stewart's Spring Car Racing for PC.
Tony Hawk's Pro Skater. Now here's Tony Stewart's Spring Car Racing.
Ailment for Xbox One, Tower of Babel, No Mercy for Switch, King Lucas for Switch, Ubermosh Omega for Switch, Fishing Adventure for Switch, Dark Tower RPG Dungeon Puzzle for Switch. That's a video game title. Ego Protocol Remastered for Switch. Last Encounter for Switch. Knight and Plus for PS4 and Switch. CL Fledge, A Daughter Raising Simulator for Switch. Oh, Blood Breed for Switch. Otherworldly for Switch. Shaolin versus Wu-Tang 2 for PC.
What? Okay.
Yo, today's release day is wild. Barno F for PC. Lair of the Clockwork God for PC. Up in the Air for PC. And
what,
Bullet Sorrow.
Kendrick movie?
Bullet Sorrow VR for PlayStation 4.
All right. I have Tony Stewart's Spring Car Racing pulled up. But do we want to make an call an audible here, because we what do we want?
I want
more?
Shaolin versus Wu-Tang.
I want to see that daughter rating.
Raising simulator. What does that even mean?
I'm looking up Tony Stewart though while this is happening because I want to know.
Tony Stewart is man. It's just a racing game.
All right, I'm looking up Shaolin versus Wu-Tang.
Anthony Wayne Stewart, nicknamed Smoke, is a former American professional stock car racing driver. Okay,
that logo's already pretty hot.
That looks like they
pretty much like, hey, I like Tekken.
Yeah, no,
hey,
what you say?
I like Street Fighter 4. Cool.
Oh no.
Tiger style.
Oh no. Actually, you know what though?
You can't talk shit about this.
I kinda wanna play it.
I love these Wu-Tang-esque knockoff beats too.
This is like, you know how every fighting game has a character that's just based off of Bruce Lee?
Yeah.
This looks like every character is based off of Bruce Lee.
That's incredibly racist.
I know it is. I'm talking about their fighting style though, like
it's pretty dumb. I'm
yeah
impressed.
This looks kind of fun actually, I'm not gonna lie. I would play this.
All right, do we want to look up the daughter raising?
Yeah, look up the daughter raising simulator.
Yeah, what's it called again?
Tony Stewart almost killed a kid, man.
Wait,
oh, you told
oh is that
this.
Who that was?
Yeah. He has
I saw
his
own that video.
Boxcar racing game now.
Bless. He has a game?
There's also, bless, I love the fact that we're here, we're like talking about some stuff. Andy hears some digital moans, and he comes running in, knocking things
oh,
over.
Oh, yeah.
You're talking about wanting to play this game? He's like, you're not. He's just talking shit. Also, get over here. Show the people. The office is split. A house divided right now between M&M's and peanut M&M's. Meanwhile, Andy's just with his everything pretzel chips.
No, I'm good, man. So good, the M&M's man. Already ruined me.
You're just so good, dude. I'm low on the bag, but it is so good.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, yeah.
What a great Friday.
These are the good ones.
And now Barrett's here, too. Who's going to hit play on the daughter-raising game?
So we're about to look at CL Fledge, or Seal Fledge, a daughter-raising simulator. Oh.
Oh, shit. From young girls.
Okay, so it's like
woman.
A...
You adopt a mysterious young girl.
It's like a visual novel kind of thing. Oh, you have menus.
You have menus? What a novelty.
A visual novelty.
Ah.
Okay, so you go to school. Beat puzzle battles.
Oh, shit. It's like Super Sports Machin.
It's like...
And band.
Somebody really liked Persona. Oh, yeah, like turn-based battles? With dogs?
Yeah, like, jeez. Got the jams.
Dude, this is game of the year 2020
this,
right here,
this
man.
Is very much, like... this has, like, lo-fi Persona vibes.
So going back to Tony Parker's Street Racing or whatever.
Tony Stewart?
Tony Stewart. That reminds me of back to Tony Hawk's Pro Skater. The Tony Hawk's Pro Skater Pretending I'm a Superman documentary finally coming out this weekend, I think it is. And they're debuting the documentary. There's also going to be a live concert of Tony Hawk's Pro Skater cover songs by a band called The Downhill Jam.
Wow. Hell yeah, man.
That couldn't get better.
Tony Hawk
that sounds
was
awesome.
Singer last night, or
Or two nights ago.
No shit.
Yeah.
How was he?
He was revealed. He lost, I guess. He was revealed.
Of course he lost.
The Masked Singer's so weird. I haven't seen enough of it to really get how it goes, but you're telling me Tony Hawk is in a costume and singing, and someone's like, that's Tony Hawk.
He was an elephant. Look like an elephant.
Well, so you don't get kicked off when like they figure out who you are. It's kind of like American Idol, where it's like a voting process of like the audience votes on like who's the best singer. And so it's like when you're like two of like the worst singers or whatever, you have to like go head to head, and then the audience and the crowd votes on who to kick off.
But who, like, how do they know it's Tony Hawk?
Because then, like, when the audience votes for you to get, like, kicked off, that's when they reveal who you are.
Okay, so them finding out who you are doesn't matter?
Not really.
No. It's just more of a neat thing.
Got it. Cool. Okay.
It's neat, fair. But it's here. The production value.
Tony Hawk's here. Whoa! Do an ollie, man!
Dude, it's a neat idea, but the production value of the show is, like, it reminds me of, like, a fake TV show in a movie. Yeah. It's just, it like, so weird.
Have you ever seen the Black Mirror episode where they have the reality show?
Yeah.
And they cut to the crowd with the like reaction episode 2. Shots. It's all those same, like, fake-ass reaction shots with kind of overdubbed audio of people being like, whoa, this is crazy. Like,
that's
really weird.
That's how it feels watching The Circle right now, where I'm like, I know there's a reality
welcome
show.
Welcome to the club, dude, baby. The
show's so good. I just finished episode. I don't know. It's so good.
It's trash, man.
Get in here. Get in this trash circle, dude, Andy.
It's so good that I don't know what episode I'm on right now, because I just keep going.
We need to talk after the show.
Yeah.
I can't wait for, like, next year when, like, we're reading the list of shit. It's like The Masked Singer for PC, The Circle,
oh,
or whatever.
God.
It's coming. It's coming.
Dude, I would love. They could do it, couldn't they?
Dude, can you imagine a circle?
Oh, my God. Because that's the thing about the show, is that I want to do it so much. Like, I want to be in that show so badly.
Me too.
Because I could rock it. I swear to God, I could rock it, dude. But yeah, it's one of those ones where it's like, I know this is a reality show, but like, I can't tell what parts are reality or what parts are fake. Because like, all their personalities are just so much. It's like you're watching a TV show inside a TV show. It's kind of one of those ones.
It's perfect.
It is perfect. Deals of the day. This comes from GameSpot. From now until February 23rd at 10 a.m. Pacific time, and that's 1 p.m. Eastern time.
It's Cool Greg's birthday.
Oh, happy birthday, Cool Greg, coming up soon. You can play Dying Light with up to 3 other players for free on Steam. During this period, the standard Dying Light game on Steam is discounted by 60%, while the Enhanced Edition is discounted by 67%. A new story mode difficulty level has been added to make the game easier for newcomers, and special events from the game's past will return over the next month to celebrate its 5-year anniversary. So happy birthday, Dying Light, also.
There you go. And happy birthday to Gia's little sister today.
Hey.
I'm texting her now because I'm happy I just remembered.
Now it's time for reader mail. You can write into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where you can get the show ad-free. And speaking of ads, this episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily is brought to you by, I'm going to take a swig of water real quick.
Woo, get that water. Your mouth's so chocolatey, boy.
Hims. You've heard us talk about Hims and how they're helping guys look their best. If you haven't yet, it's time to see what they're all about. 66% of men start to lose their hair by age 35. Once you start noticing thinning hair, it can be too late. The best way to prevent more hair loss is to do something about it while you still have some. 4hims.com is a one-stop shop for hair loss, skincare, and sexual wellness for men. It's time to write a new chapter, one in which you have hair. Andy and Nick both have used Hims, and I can tell you straight up, they have some of the best hair in this office. Thanks to science, baldness can be optional. Hims is helping guys be the best version of themselves with licensed physicians and FDA-approved products to help treat hair loss. No snake oil pills or gas station counter supplements. These are prescription solutions backed by science. Dive into 2020 Hair First. Right now, our listeners can get started with their first month free. Go to 4hims.com/gamesdaily. That's 4hims.com/gamesdaily. The prescription requires an online consultation with a physician who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. The offer is valid only if prescribed. 3-month minimum subscription. Additional restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information. Remember, that's 4hims.com/gamesdaily. Also, we're brought to you by Quip. Quip, makers of the Quip electric toothbrush, wants you to know the one single discovery that matters most for your dental care. It's simply this, that if you have good habits, you're good. That means brushing for 2 minutes twice a day and flossing regularly, no matter what brand you use. Quip makes that simple, starting with an electric toothbrush, refillable floss, and anti-cavity toothpaste. Quip's electric brush has sensitive sonic vibrations with a built-in timer and 30-second pulses to guide a full and even clean. The Quip floss dispenser comes with pre-marked string to help you use just enough. Plus, Quip delivers fresh brush heads, floss, and toothpaste refills to your door every 3 months with free shipping, so your routine is always right. Join over 3 million healthy mouths and get Quip today, starting at $25. And if you go to getquip.com/games right now, you'll get your first refill free. That's your first refill free at getquip.com/games, spelt GETQUIP.com/games. Quip, the good habits company. Suck Sandwich writes in and says, "Good morning, Blessing and Tim." That's a great name, Suck Sandwich. The drought is over. We finally got a new Direct with a ton of Animal Crossing info. However, we still know practically nothing about Nintendo's plans for 2020 past March. Can we expect a new General Direct before the end of March, or will Nintendo make us wait until E3 for new info? I just want to know where to set my expectations. After two relatively well-planned out years, Nintendo has been awfully quiet about the Switch in 2020. Do you think that's just because that's because of the impending PS5 and Xbox Series X, or is it Nintendo just being Nintendo? Thanks for all the great content and have a terrific weekend. Suck Sandwich. Thank you, Suck Sandwich.
I am utterly shocked that we haven't had a Direct yet, or news of a Direct, or any hints that a Direct is coming in the month of February. I think it's a bad sign. No, they're
like a general Direct.
A general Direct, like a Direct with announcements. Like, there's always Directs that are just like for one-off games, and that's important. You need to showcase games, and it's important they did that for Animal Crossing.
Mm-hmm.
And they set the expectations correctly of, no, we're talking about Animal Crossing for however long we are. That's what we're doing. Don't expect other shit. Cool. I expect other shit at this point.
Yeah.
Like, this is a bad sign where we are seeing a Nintendo like we saw during Wii U, during GameCube, during Wii for a long extended periods of time, where it's like, where are the games? Where are the first party titles? Like, I'm sitting here not playing my Switch enough. That's a problem.
Yeah.
You know? Like, we want some new games. Like, there needs to be something. Every year that the Switch has existed, we've had some January and February releases, and then we also knew things that were gonna be coming to get us into E3 and then get us through the rest of the year.
Yeah.
So I'm a little bit worried about that stuff. I don't think that it's the worst sign in the world. Like, we know that there are games coming, and I think that a lot of the rumors are going to end up being true. I think we're going to get a 2D Metroid. I think we're going to get a true-to-form Paper Mario. I think we're going to eventually get Metroid Prime 4, Breath of the Wild 2, like, you know, more Mario games. Like, we're getting all those things.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of when. And it kind of sucks to feel like Nintendo Switch is currently in a position that the PlayStation 4 is in terms of, well, we just can't really announce anything right now because there's we've already announced all the shit that's coming, and it's too early to announce the rest of the stuff.
But I feel like they haven't really announced all the shit that's coming, because, like, what, we have Bayonetta 3, right, that's coming up. We have No More Heroes, which is going to be this year. We have, we already know all the things about Animal Crossing. But then, like, far looking out, right, there's Metroid Prime.
Mm-hmm.
And then
Breath of the Wild 2,
right?
That's,
and then what
it.
Else, right?
That's There's what we know.
Shin Megami Tensei, right, which is going to be for an audience. And then, like, far out, there's not really anything big like we have with PlayStation, or like we've had with PlayStation.
And Nintendo doesn't give a shit about the next-gen consoles in terms of direct competition. Like, that's just not how they think about things. It's not how they ever will think about things.
I feel
things.
Like that's not how they think about things in terms of their software, right? Like, this fall, that's not going to keep them from releasing something big, or a couple of big things this fall, right? I think that might deter them from releasing the Switch Pro this fall. I think, like, they'd prefer spring, because that's going to be a cleaner, more, like, less noise around that time. It's going to be great for them for releasing a new Switch Pro. But as far as, like, games, right, like, they still want to have an active year. You know, they don't want to take a year off in the middle of their console generation.
Especially not this year. And then that's why it's, like, I think it's kind of a bummer that, like, there's nothing for me to really be excited about right now, because I'm not an Animal Crossing guy.
Mm-hmm.
So this year right now, I'm like, all right, cool.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like that was me in 2018, right? That was, like, the year where we had, like, I forget when the Direct Mini was, where they announced, like, or they didn't announce, but they had like Celeste and, like, quite a few indie games in there, and they had, like, The World Ends With You and stuff like that. But I remember after that Direct feeling like, is there nothing coming out this year? And then it wasn't until the Smash Direct, which I can't remember what month that was.
I think it was April.
Yeah, it wasn't until then where I was like, okay, cool, we have a good lay of the land for what this year is going
to
be.
But even having said that, though, we had games from that January to that April that were coming out, like New Super Mario Brothers Deluxe. Granted, a port, it still was a game that came out and, like, had massive sales.
That was 2019, right? That was beginning of last year. I'm talking about 2018.
Oh, okay. Then what was 2018?
I can't remember.
There were games coming out, though. That's the thing. Is, like, from the Switch's launch until recently, there have been like games, and they don't all speak to everybody, mm-hmm. but there were things coming out that at least spoke to somebody. Right now, there's nothing coming out.
Yeah, I could see there being a case where they don't do a new direct until April, like beginning of April.
Yeah,
right. And I think that's a bummer because we want to know what to be excited about for the Switch. But I feel like as far as where Nintendo's at right now, it doesn't really matter to them. Like, yeah. they don't necessarily need you to be excited about the Switch right now. They just need you to be excited about Animal Crossing.
I just want
to
be playing something on the Switch right now. It's like, give me a Super Mario 3D World port. Mm-hmm. I'll take it. The fact that we don't have that right now means we're going to get it later, which means we're not getting something new and exciting until even later. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, that's just how Nintendo's portfolio works. They don't put games out on top of each other. So any port is going to take the spot of what could be something new, pushing that all back. And it's just like, I want to start. Let's get moving, man.
Yeah, I'm not too worried. Like, I think it's going to be a pretty active year. I don't know if it's going to be one of the better Switch years. You know, I think last year was pretty good with Pokemon and Fire Emblem and Luigi's Mansion and Link's Awakening, right? And the year before that, actually, what did we get in 2018? We got Smash. Yeah, Smash. And then, like, of course, 2017, we had Breath of the Wild and all that stuff. I don't think... I could see this being an off year, but I don't think it'll be an off year in the sense that we won't get games. Because I believe in the rumors of Paper Mario, and I forget what the other thing was that people were talking about that would come out along. I think people were talking about like Mario Golf or Mario Sports game, right? Mm-hmm. I could see that easily happening. I could see this fall being... See, I was going to say Bayonetta 3 and No More Heroes 3, but I feel like those aren't big enough punches.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I'm only upset because I'm a fan, and I just want these things, right? But I am very concerned about Nintendo's marketing plans of the last 6 months. It just feels like there's a momentum that they are losing. Granted, they'll get that momentum back the second they announce the Direct, and all the hype immediately is right there.
That's my thing, is I feel like right now, everything is focused on Animal Crossing. And right after Animal Crossing, that's when they're like, okay, cool, now that we have nothing, like literally nothing that you're looking forward to, let's give you all the things to look forward to.
Mm-hmm.
Where now I feel like them... Good strategy. Them just giving us that Animal Crossing Direct, I feel like, points to that. Mm-hmm. I think they're focused on making people, like...
Also, we know we're going to get an Indies Direct. Or Indies something.
Yeah, Indies Showcase.
GDC. They do that every year.
Okay, yeah. So we'll have that.
But that's different.
Like, do they ever... have stuff there that is like, and this is out now, because I feel like usually it's
a lot of
up
indie
in the
stuff
fall.
But I mean, like, you know, the indie stuff at GDC last year, we got Cuphead, so if we get stuff on that level, like, that's crazy. But
we'll see.
I don't know.
Frankfurter writes in and says, good morning, Blessing and Tim. Review bombing. It's nothing new to us, nor most people, when they hear the term, but something very unusual happened this week. A single, solitary person review bombed Kunai, an indie game that has gotten pretty good ratings thus far. This person made 200 fake accounts on Metacritic and brought the user score of 8.1 all the way down to 1.7. I have a few questions here. One, the culprit didn't have a reason for bombing the score, which leads me to ask, why waste that much time? Two, do you think review bombing an indie game has a bigger effect than it does on a AAA game? And then three, do you think Metacritic will make it harder for people to do this in the future, i.e. link your library to review account and only let you review games you own? Thanks for all you do, Frank Furter. Did you hear about this at all?
No.
I saw this on Twitter. I saw them tweet out and they're like, hey, everyone, like, it'd be great if you play the game, like, you know, please give us a rating. It looks like, you know, we've been review bombed, all that stuff, right? And it's a single person who made a bunch of fake accounts, you know, brought it down to a 1.7, which is a bummer, right? And I think it's one of those things where, you know, everybody's on the internet, which means bad people are going to be on the internet, and, you know, bad people are gonna troll and do crazy things, right? It sucks that people can have access to be able to, you know, just take out a developer that's just, like, minding their own business, releasing a game. But as far as... As Frankfurter's questions here, right? The culprit didn't... Let's see. Which leads me to ask, why waste that much time? Why would somebody do this?
People are invested in things.
Yeah.
And it's like, when you really care about something, even if it's bad, like, people will go to ridiculous lengths to prove their point. That's why.
It's
she shouldn't.
It's such a weird thing, right? Because I remember there was a string of years there where every Christmas, PSN would go down. Right, PSN and Xbox would go down because people would do like the attacks. I forget what they're called. The
DDoS.
Yeah, DDoS attacks. Yeah, people would DDoS and bring all the systems down. And it's for no reason other than to make a point. Yeah. You know, and what's that point? That we exist, that we, like,
yeah.
You know, I don't know if it's like a case of like loneliness or a case of people just, you know, flexing their skill and want to actually get practice or whatever it is. Whatever it is wrong.
It's cause and effect. People like seeing something they do cause an effect.
Yeah.
It reminds me a lot of, like, Twitch streams of, like, you like watching people be live and then being like, hey, like,
pat
your leg,
yeah,
Pete Hines. Mm-hmm. And then when Pete Hines pats his leg, you're like, hey, it's that same thing, right?
Yeah.
Except that is a, you know.
You know, that's not really a toxic behavior,
yeah,
whereas, like, you know, ruining fun for a bunch of people or,
yeah,
like, ruining a developer's day, right? You know, that's not really a good way to go about getting attention.
Mm-hmm.
But here, do you think review bombing an indie game has a bigger effect than it does on a AAA game?
I don't think it has a bigger effect. I think it has a different effect. Like, obviously, there's different levels of what the needs are for an indie developer versus a major developer. And, you know, there's a lot of bonuses attached to things. There's a lot of, like, structure attached on the major side,
yeah,
when it comes to reviews and all that stuff. But when it comes to the indie stuff, like, that could mean the promotion, the difference between their game being seen by anyone or seen by no one.
Yeah.
Right?
That's the thing. I think it has a bigger effect in the sense that, like, tanking Anthem's review score, right? Like, Anthem's user score being a 1, right? That's going to suck for Anthem, but, like, also, like, that's not going to really tank the company of EA, right? The user score mainly. But people will have other ways of knowing about Anthem. People will, you know, see big IGN reviews or big website reviews or see commercials or, like, you know, watch their favorite YouTubers play Anthem. There are other ways for people to get access to a big AAA game that aren't the Metascore reviews, whereas,
yeah,
I feel like for indie games, where, like, I've heard the name Kunai, but I hadn't really tuned into it that much. And, you know, for a lot of people, there are a lot more limited ways of gaining getting awareness of a game. And so, you know, to go on their Metacritic and see, like, a 1.7, it's like, oh, this game might have some issues or there might be some controversy around it, right? That's, like, negative press in a way that's not good press.
Well, I mean, then, not devil's advocate, but the other side of that, though, is, and in here, which has the bigger effect. Like, again, I think it's just different effects,
yeah,
because, like, that's true for the promotion stuff. But on the Anthem side, people might not be searching for Kunai, but they are searching for Anthem. They want to see the reviews. And if people are interested in seeing it gets a 1.7, even if it's from users, that's going to really affect it. That's going to cause a huge change in sales, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, what has the bigger effect? Who cares?
Yeah.
They both have bad effects, right?
Yeah. And then here, do you think Metacritic will make it harder for people to do this in the future? I mean,
you want to hope, but I don't think so.
I think they should, right? And I think the example of linking your library to review to your review account and only letting you review games you own, right? Like, I think that could be a solution. I don't know if that's the solution, right? Like, I'd like there to be a case where, you know, reviewers, people with accounts, right, user reviewers maybe have to, like, earn a certain level of, like, review karma where, like, after, like, a certain amount of reviews, we know that you're a good reviewer, and so you're going to contribute to, like, the actual user score, whereas before you were, like, you could only contribute, like, words or something like that. Like, I don't know, like, I feel like there's a certain level of making sure an account is legit,
yeah,
you know, that could be done in order to make that work, but I feel like linking your library thing could also be a solution, but I don't know if that cleans it up.
Look, here's the reality of the situation. Metacritic isn't going to change this shit until it makes them money, or it's losing them money that they don't fix it. People using their shit to make more accounts, to be more active, to do stuff, why would they stop that?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And that's the shitty reality of it. But until people are, like, actively not using Metacritic because they want to see this change, then Metacritic might be like, all right, we got to step in and do this shit. But otherwise, it's like,
yeah, I mean,
they have no incentive to.
I think there could be a case in which people give enough flack to Metacritic where they actually see that controversy, right?
Totally.
Like, I feel like if enough people were, I don't want to use the word rise up because I feel like that has a certain connotation, but if enough people, like, spoke up and were like, hey, like, Metacritic, you know, this is shitty, this sucks, I'm going to OpenCritic instead, or whatever, like, the action,
yeah,
might be, right? Like, I feel like enough of that might spark a, okay, we should review this thing so we can, like, settle down people a bit.
Absolutely.
Gamers, we need you to rise up.
We need you to, I don't want to ever make gamers rise up. Something always scary happens when gamers rise up. Now it's time to squad up.
Oh, man. Gamers squad up.
Gamers squad up. Rylan Price writes in with a squad up on PS4 and says, I'm a new father of a beautiful 5-month baby boy. Congratulations.
Yeah.
I'm looking to get back into gaming, looking to squad up for some late night gaming. I need a new clan in Destiny. Play on the East Coast, best coast after 9. My PSN is Rylan Price. That is R-Y-L-A-N-D. Or Prince, not Price. So Rylan Prince. R-Y-L-A-N-D-P-R-I-N-C-E. Thank you. Now it's time for kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. Remember, we get stuff wrong. You can let us know during the live show. Matt the Wob writes in and says, Devil May Cry 5 came out March 8th.
There you go.
So there you go.
What the fuck, Twitter? You leading me astray.
Did it, like, come out earlier in, like, a different region or something?
I don't know, man.
Seems and weird. Then I need to look at this link to make sure it's real. Da-da-da. Yeah, this looks legit. So Neo Aoshi writes in and says, Square Enix and Final Fantasy XIV just canceled all PAX East events as well. So there you go. Wow. And then Katie writes in and says, to explain why it's trending, Capcom's Twitter have tweeted, hey, everybody, in celebration of DMC5's first anniversary, we're planning a little something to thank you all who supported us. Tweet the hashtag DMC5 anniversary to share your thoughts, and we'll include your handle in the celebration. And FYI, we'll take entries through March 1st.
Well, that's confusing.
It is.
Yeah, so the anniversary is coming up, but they're having people submit their entries for the anniversary today with the hashtag, which is why it's trending.
Makes sense.
And then let me see here. What else do we got? What else do we got? What are people submitting for us? Big more Square Enix. Nintendo. All right. Editorializing. I think.
Oh, I see one here.
Which one?
This one comes from the entire world. It says, blessing, you a bitch. Everyone knows the peanut M&Ms are superior.
Wow.
I feel like the peanut M&M's thing is like, it's kind of like coffee, right? I drink my M&M's black. I can have
it
plain.
Tea, you put like 6 cubes of sugar.
Yeah, it's because tea has a different, tea hits different. Now, I've actually been doing 2 cubes lately. I've been doing 2 cubes lately, and I've actually been enjoying it. And so yeah. I'm probably going to step down from the sugar.
Okay.
Thanks for everyone for caring about my health. Now stop caring about my health. And like, next week's hosts are, on Monday, it's Greg and me. Tuesday, it's me and Imran. Wednesday, Greg and Gary Whitta. Thursday, it's me and Tim. And then Friday, it's Greg and me again.
Thursday's going to be a good day.
Tim, what's the KF stream that's happening today?
Halo.
We didn't get to do
cross
it yesterday.
Cross our fucking fingers. We tried to do Halo yesterday. And Xbox Live, down in San Francisco. We're getting the thumbs up from Barrett right now.
Such a random thing.
Dude. Both systems have gotten into the menus, so we're looking good.
But we're looking better than we were yesterday, okay. But we'll see.
Dude, last night I wanted to watch The Circle on my Xbox. Couldn't do it because the Xbox Live was down in San Francisco. I was like, oh, they weren't lying. It's actually down.
Yeah.
It's whack. That's happening today
we
at 2 p.m.
We don't lie to people, blessing.
We don't
like
lie to
you
people.
Do about...
Really? Because you've been lying to people all day about these peanut M&Ms.
No, that's what you're lying about and saying they're bad.
And then I guess I'll save Gamescast info for next week, but stay tuned because Gamescast next week is going to be a banger.
Banger.
Of course, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. We have a Patreon post show for those that are subbed at the silver level of patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, so stick around for that. Otherwise, until next time, Game Daily.